Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hey, Spike!
Spike, how about Spike?
In this coming year, I'm gonna be discreet. Have the slickers playing music soft and sweet. I resolve to treat Tchaikovsky tenderly and set his second movement off with TNT.
From the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business's people and their love for trees. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Good planets are in the main. Right.
So here I am. Is this the way it's supposed to happen in the business? Now, you got to understand, it's live, as Dick Kay says. We're live. We're local. We're your Progressive Talk. Mr. Sanders in the control room looking around to see who's here, wondering why the studio is so empty. Is that it? Mr. Sanders? Yes, sir.
Sarah Batka.
Oh, look who just walked in. See, the studio's not empty. Sarah Batka's here.
Sarah Batka.
Oh, I don't have my bell.
Ding.
Ding.
Ding, ding.
Denny, I'm going to have to send you out for the bell. You know where it is, right?
No, the bell room?
No.
Right? No?
Right. Exactly. That's where it is, the bell room.
All right, off to the bell room I go.
The big box.
Oh, all right.
You know.
Off I go.
Okay. He's the best. Wait. Denny. Mikey says he'll get it for me. Oh, Denny's already off to get it. See, and I'm getting phone calls just before the show starts. People wandering in the door. Wow. You cut it close there, sweetie.
I know. Good morning. You look so nice.
But thank you.
How come you're all dressed up?
With no place to go? No, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. Today's the final gig of the year. I'm off to the Morton Arboretum.
Oh, fantastic.
We're
what
doing
for?
The Yule log hunt. And for those of you listening today and you're looking for something to do, the family's still in town, you want the kids involved, go out to the Morton Arboretum in Lisle. And every year, this is the 35th straight year they've done it. Now, not with me and not with the Frozen Robins, but this is our fourth or fifth year doing it with the Frozen Robins. And we go out and we help them do this ceremony and this contest where you are given clues. They've hidden a log somewhere on the grounds of the Morton Arboretum, which sounds funny because the place is filled with trees and logs. But they have a special log that it's, I believe it's got a ribbon attached to it. So, and it's hidden in a strategic place. And then you go there and you're given clues and you got to follow the clues in order and have your ticket punched. And the first one to find the log, is the winner. I don't think there's fabulous cash prizes, but it's a lot of fun.
And that does sound like fun.
And then what they do is they saw the log in half and put half of it in the fire and save half of it for next year. And then they pass on their tradition from year to year to year.
So and does the log get smaller and smaller each
no,
year?
No. It's not. They have a different log. I forget exactly how that works. But I think last year's log gets burned at the beginning of the fest today. And then this year's log, half of it gets burned.
That's cool. That's really nice.
And there's kids, the whole families get involved in the hunt. As you imagine, the kids love it. And it's always better when there's snow on the ground. I don't think there's a lot of snow out there right now. There's probably a little bit. I haven't been out there. We've done some years where it's been mud. Some years where it's snow. Some years where there's no snow and the ground's just frozen. Today's going to be a nippy one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was 17 this morning.
I know.
And I thought, oh, my poor sweet hens.
And we will be standing outside caroling in much of it. So I'm bundled up. I've got the long underwear on.
Nice.
I got the double pair of socks. I got the tuxedo jacket here. Mr. Popper's Penguins jacket. That's what Mike Sanders is calling it, the Mr. Popper's Penguins.
I was thinking vampire. You'd make an excellent vampire.
Oh. No comment. I only go out at night. I don't know if you realize that. I will melt in the sun today. There you go. So that starts. We start caroling at 1 p.m. It's great because it's the final gig of the year. And what we do is we start off inside the visitor center, regaling the people coming in. And then the Yule log ceremony starts about 2. It goes about 2 hours and we wrap things up about 4. Excuse me. And it's just a great time for the whole family. So come on out to the Morton Arboretum. You should know the address by heart, but I don't. And I know Sarah's working on it right now. She'll get that for me. So we can, it's up, you know, on Route 53 in Lyle, just off of I-88. It's so easy to get to. If any of you are out that way, say hi. Come on by and be part of the ceremony.
You're doing this right after the show?
I am booking right out of here, man. It's just.
You are a trooper.
I
just go home and do nothing. You make me feel very lazy at times, Mike. No, you got things going on, buddy.
Well, you know, that's why I was thinking, you know, there's Mike Sanders. He's got the best of show, before mine. And here I am live 52 weeks a year, baby. That, you know, that's actually a sign of sickness.
I think it might be.
Mike's going to come in. Come on. Bring it, baby. You come in here, pal. You know, it's a final show of the year. There's got to be a little professional rivalry. Uh-oh, look out. Stand back.
Oh,
yes,
boy.
Sir.
Bring up number 4.
It's up.
Darn it.
Hello, Mike Sanders, host of Our Town on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, from 8 to 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
That's right.
You had...
So I'm in the control room, right? And I hear Mr. Novak and all flashily dressed... Giving me grief about me playing Tommy James this morning. I did that for you.
I liked that interview.
I thought it was a very good
interview. Tommy James is awesome.
And I'm like, I know you didn't hear it the first time, did you?
No.
See? And I'm like, Mike Novak's going to appreciate this. And then you come in here and you're busting my hump. And I did it all for you. Yeah, sure, you're live 52 weeks a year, but you know you could probably give away 5 or 10 of those shows. And
you know, I probably could, and nobody would notice. And you also did a wonderful job on It's a Wonderful Slice.
Thank you.
Which we aired last year. And if folks haven't heard our 10-minute version of It's a Wonderful Life, we got 3 of the characters here, and I mean characters.
It's actually my last day here. I'm going to be an actor starting tomorrow. I got an agent. I got everything. You've inspired. That inspired me.
Denny Sheeter, who played a bunch of roles. Mike Sanders, who played a bunch of roles. Sarah Batka, who played a bunch of roles. And
do you have that posted somewhere now?
Yeah, it's on my my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to podcasts. It's right there. It's a wonderful slice of It's a Wonderful Life. So if you want to hear the podcast of that, and a lot of people liked it.
It was a good time.
Sarah Batka knocked it out of the park, too.
Bam!
My favorite part was Denny whispering, "Is this a new guy?"
This is what happens when you don't read the script in advance. It's a
yeah.
But he did some great character voices there.
All right. Yep. Yep. I did man and other man.
and angry man.
And angry man.
Angry
yeah.
man.
There's angry man in there too?
Yeah. Angry
do,
man.
Do you recall the line there, Dennis?
What's that?
Do you recall the line?
I think maybe I'm angry. I don't know. I don't know what angry man said.
I think it was when he crashed
I'm
the
angry.
Car.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So what was the line?
Okay. Here we go. Now look what you did. My great grandfather planted that tree.
He knows the whole thing.
He really does.
Now look what you did. My grandfather planted that whole tree. I'm angry.
Shut off his mic. Shut off his mic.
Well, I'm going to get out of the room here, but Happy New Year to all of you
Happy
guys.
Happy New Year to you, Mike Sanders.
And then thank you for letting me be part of the It's a Wonderful Slice and for busting my hump about the Tommy James.
Nah, I liked your Tommy James interview. It brought back memories for me. I had forgotten how many great songs he wrote.
Lots.
Yeah. The guy must be a gazillionaire by now.
He sounds like a humble gazillionaire.
He does. I don't think I got the feeling that somehow he got left out of the gazillions.
He's like you know? $1 short of a gazillion.
Probably $1 short of a gazillion. But, you know, there's some other people who are, you can tell when they're real. That guy's real.
He was real.
Yeah, he really enjoyed talking to you, and he just seems humble. So
Midwest native. He gave back to his high school.
Niles.
Yep, Niles. Yeah.
That was so cool hearing about their first gig on Niles Radio. I love the part about how you know, the thing is bootlegged to Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And he has to come to do a demo, but he can't get, the band won't come. So
he had to get new Shondells.
He goes to a bar and picks up some Shondells and brings them, and they all sit together and they crank out a number one hit.
And see, funny story, I'm going to get out here, but funny story is after we were done with the interview, I told him that I remember him most from when I was a kid when he did the Schlitz Malt Liquor Bull commercials. It was Saturday mornings, and I'm like, wow, this guy's actually, you know, it's weird because he had the fro going, and he would sell, like, beer to children. not intentionally, obviously, but the idea was kind of funny to me that's my first memory of Tommy James was on Saturday mornings with those old beer
commercials. Perfect time for liquor commercials, by the way, Saturday morning.
When I was a kid, I didn't see anything wrong with it. As I got older, I'm like, this is probably a problem. So.
Mike, all I can say is you are so young.
So,
and well, I'm so jealous.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
I'm out.
All right. And
for the record, it was the Lou Ferrigno interview that you were giving him stuff about.
Yeah, it's true. It was. get out of here. Get out of here before I hit you again. Get out of here. Did we get the address of
4100 Lincoln Avenue?
Lincoln?
Yeah, no.
No. What are you looking up? It's not that hard. It's www.mortonarb. Are you awake? Arb.org. And we'll have the address in a second. Today's show, as I said, we're live. We're here. And we're going to cover something that we started last week, and then it'll actually be, it's 4100 Illinois Route 53.
Oh, okay. It says for GPS, 4100 Lincoln Avenue, Lyle.
Do they call that Lincoln? It's Route 53. But that's okay. So you're going east or west on I-88, get off Route 53 going, is that north or south? I think it's north.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. And you're set. And we'll be there at 1 o'clock. And I hope you join us and say hi. We talked last week to Kathy Cummings, whose garden was first place winner in 2004, most naturalized city garden. And then this year she received a ticket, a weed ticket, apparently. $640 that she's supposed to resolve by this Thursday, I guess, or at least decide whether she's going to appeal. Also, if you get the Chicago Tribune, I have.
That's a paper. I see it.
The article. In the business section today, page six, it's John Yates, the What's Your Problem column. He covers this very story. And she's back in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to her. And in addition, which is very interesting, we will have Suzanne Malik McKenna, who is the former commissioner of the Department of the Environment of the city of Chicago, which doesn't exist anymore, and under whom part of these part of this ordinance was crafted. And that's coming on at 10. We will look a little bit. I wanted Suzanne in and to talk about that, the weed ordinance and how it was crafted, because her signature is on it from 2008. So I wanted to see what they had in mind with this. Problem is, well, there's just so much here in this little story, because one of the things that John Yates does when he's writing about it in the Trib is he makes it seem as though this is the only one, but other people have been fined as well, like Ken Dunn, who is an icon in Chicago. He's an environmental icon. Did you looked a little surprised, Sarah?
Well, yeah, I'm surprised that. God, Ken Dunn would be
well,
fine.
You know, it there's a pattern here, unfortunately. It might be coincidental, but these are two environmentalists in the city. Now, I'm not saying the environmentalists are being targeted. I'm saying it's probably an unfortunate coincidence. But Ken Dunn, as I said, is an icon in the city of Chicago environmentally for the last 40 years. So why did his garden get tagged? And he didn't fight it. He paid $640. Which,
God, that's a lot of money.
And that's the other thing. Why is it so much money? So anyway, we're going to get into all of this in the second hour. That ought to be an interesting conversation, and we'll see where this whole thing proceeds. And I want to thank all the people who have written to me this week. A number of you have and said, "How can I help?" Question is, I'm not exactly sure yet. I haven't talked to everybody. And I've been out, and in the second hour, we'll talk about who I've been trying to contact, and we'll see what can be done. But thank you all for your concern and wanting to get involved, because it does seem like an outrage. And it might, you know, and as I said last week, it might be just a bureaucratic snafu, and just people who need a little more education in the city of Chicago in the Department of Streets and Sand. So, Rick DeMille is going to be on a little early today, because we're going to look over some of the news of, I mean, let's face it, in terms of news, this was a crazy weather year. And we're going to talk about, so he sent me a 9-page document yesterday. He says, here's some of the stuff that happened this year. I love Rick. Now that he's got his master's, he's getting all fancy and everything. But I wanted to talk to you, Sarah, because this has been a really interesting week, couple of weeks for you, hasn't it? Well, you know, as Master Gardener Coordinator for Cook County, this is the time when you're looking at all the reports that the Master Gardeners send in. Why don't you explain to folks what Master Gardeners have to do each year to maintain their certificate?
Okay, so we have an annual agreement, and we ask our Master Gardeners to contribute a minimum of 30 hours of volunteer service in Cook County, and a plant clinic requirement, where we take, we answer consumer questions about lawn care and, you know, home fruit and all different insects. If you find an insect, you're welcome to send pictures to us, and we'll try and help you identify it. And then continuing education hours, we ask everybody to do a minimum of 10 continuing education hours.
Yeah, so 30 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be more. It used to be like, didn't it used to be?
You need 60 hours.
60 hours
for
when
your
you first,
internship.
Yeah, for your internship, mm-hmm, just to get.
In order to graduate.
Just to get the Master Gardener certificate.
Right. Up until then, you're an intern.
That's right. And then each year, you've got to volunteer for 30 hours. And you've got to get 10 hours of continuing education. Did I pass? Did mine qualify? Did you look at mine?
Yes, I did. And you're good.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Because I was surprised. I went back over my notes for the year. I was surprised at how many volunteer hours I put in. I had like 50 or 60 volunteer hours.
Oh, at least on McLean alone.
Yeah. I mean, and I didn't even put in half of those.
And that's just it. Our volunteers work so hard and don't give themselves enough credit. I'm sure people put in way more hours than they actually report.
Mm-hmm. But the hard part for me is the continuing education. Even if I, you know,
No way. Like, you go to Mila, you go to, there's the Indiana.
Well, it's true. There are various green fairs, festivals that I go to, and you always learn something in the seminar. Oh, the Good Food Festival. There's just so many different things out there.
Bioneers Conference. There's so many opportunities in Chicago for continuing education. Yeah. Nobody should not be able to complete those 10 hours.
You're pretty lenient about that, aren't you?
I'm trying really hard to tighten things up. This is my new policy for 2013 year.
Mine were legit. I know that. Maybe other people's weren't quite as legit, but
Mike,
I don't know.
Mike, may I say that we have some volunteers that go way above and beyond, and if I might just publicly acknowledge them and
absolutely
thank them so much for their hard work. Jerry Hosley and Gloria Needleman, Dorothy Zakowski, amazing. I think they were like 300, 400, 500 hours this year that they have completed.
Doing what?
For example, Jerry works at the Museum of Science and Industry. He works for Franciscan Community Outreach.
You mean he volunteers at the Museum of Science and Industry?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And volunteers for... No, and that's the point with Master Gardeners. It's you can't get paid for the work that
right.
you're doing.
Right.
And I'm believe me, all the stuff I gave you was the stuff that I didn't get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I didn't even throw in anything about the show, even though I really don't get paid for this either. Then there was no show stuff. So there you go. Although I you got to understand that the Master Gardeners, the state Master Gardeners have this database there. You can log on and look at all these different events. And then if you participated in that event, you click on it, and then you enter your hours. And there are dozens of them, just dozens and dozens of opportunities. And if you did an event that's not listed, you submit it and say, hey, is this will this qualify? And, you know, a lot of them, if it's a community garden, it pretty much is in there, I would
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm.
What I was impressed with, one of the things on the list is the Mike Novak Show. If you've volunteered for the Mike Novak Show, you get hours. So you should put your own name there. Did you use that?
Oh.
Truthfully, I haven't put in my hours. I'm working on everybody else's.
And they were due, of course. They're due, of course, at the end of the year. And then,
it's crunch time. So,
that's what I mean when I say you've been busy. It's been I don't know how you get all that done. That's a lot of work. How many Master Gardeners are you responsible for?
I think we have 250, about 250 active volunteers.
And is that the whole of Cook County or just South Cook County? Or
Chicago Central.
Just Chicago Central.
Right, for our territory. And then we have other units, Chicago South Suburban, and mm-hmm. then our Northsiders.
So my hats are off at the end of the year to the Master Gardeners all over the country, actually, because it's not just in Illinois, but there are Master Gardener programs in all 50 states. And as you heard, the Master Gardeners specifically in Chicago and in Cook County, surrounding counties, they've cut back in the last couple of years. It's been hard to get money, and I've talked about it on this show, and mm-hmm. and it's sad that it seems like almost every year or every other year Illinois Extension has to fight for funding mm-hmm. to keep this program going. And in terms of what it brings back for the money spent on it, it's like 5-6 times. It's absurd.
Oh, it's a huge return. Huge return on investment.
And so next time, and I think most people aren't even aware that Extension is on the budget. It's not one. It's not sexy like pension reform, which needs to be done, of course. But it's one of those things that gets left off, that is at the bottom of the list and bottom of people's priorities. And it really should be near the top because people do so much work. It's not just master gardeners, but it's 4-H. And most people think when they think extension, they think of those two things. But it goes into other things. It goes into health and education and just so many different things that extension promotes.
Oh, yeah. We have nutrition programs, SNAP ed programs, programs for young families, older adults, mm-hmm. continuing education for older adults. I mean, we do so much.
So that is something that if it comes up, do consider supporting Illinois Extension, even if you don't know exactly what it is. Just think Master Gardeners. Okay, that's a good place to start.
And the Master Naturalist program as well.
Yep,
we have environmental stewards. We trained 14 excellent interns this year. What a great experience. That was my first time being able to work with that program.
Are you a Master Naturalist now?
No, I'm going to say no because I can't commit to one more thing right now.
Okay.
But I did get to sit in on the classes, and that was a wonderful experience. So thank you to all of our partners at the Field Museum, the Forest Preserve District of Cook County, the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum, Friends of the Chicago River were all so helpful in getting that program launched this fall. So thank you so much, you guys. We couldn't have done it without their partnership.
While we're on the subject of keeping your legislators on the hot seat, you know, we've got a session coming up that's going to begin, I guess, second in Springfield. And one of the things that you might want to consider is calling your representative, your state representative, to get them to support Senate Bill 2380, I believe it is. Let's make sure I've got 3280. I had the numbers transposed. SB 3280, which would create a moratorium on fracking in Illinois for the time being, until we can figure out whether that is something that is going to be harmful. And there's a lot of people who believe it is. And it is something that we have an opportunity in Illinois to move more cautiously on before we foul our drinking water and create other problems. So I would tell you to go to the Illinois Sierra Club, because they've got a page on supporting SB 3280. You can pick up the phone, call your state representative, and make sure that they know about this and know where you stand on it. So that's one of the things I would. And you know what? I'm going to talk about that probably more next week. I'm hoping to have Jennifer Walling on from the Illinois Environmental Council to talk about that. But I wanted to put that on people's radar right now, just so that they know that this is an important deal and they need to get to it and actually make a phone call at the beginning of the year. That would be a good way to start the new year to do that. So there you have it. Okay. I said we were going to get Rick DeMaio on early, and we're going to do that. So it's the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I've got Sarah Batka in the studio with me. It's the final show of the year. Yes, we're live, and we're here, and your phone calls are always welcome, 773-763-9278. Especially if you want to say Happy New Year, or, you know, one of the things we're going to do in the second hour, after we talk about the native plant fine, is go over some of the stories I might have missed. And if you got a story, environmental story, gardening story, something like that, that you want to call to our attention, the second hour would be a good time, especially after about 10:30, 773-763-9278. And as we head into the new year, The Care of Trees has a question for you, and that's why hire a tree care company at all? Here's why. While trees growing in the forest and other natural areas can basically take care of themselves, those growing in cities and suburbs need help staying healthy and beautiful. They contend with air pollution, road salt, confined roots, trunk damage, compacted or poor quality soils, improper pruning, and other stresses. Your trees and shrubs may benefit from pruning, mulching, irrigating, soil management, or other TLC to thrive. When you work with the Care of Trees, you benefit from having trained, educated, and certified professionals caring for your trees. Their staff includes registered consulting arborists, certified arborists, and certified tree workers. Trained in the progressive technologies and techniques and ensuring safe work practices. Invite the certified arborists, and that's key, certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. Happy New Year from the Care of Trees, their business is people, and their love for trees.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing?
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I understand we are having internet problems. Denny, what's the story?
Internet problems should be fixed. We should be good to go. Please, if you hear it again, give us a call. Let us know, and we'll take care of it.
Please stand by. No. All right, no. So we're up and running, I hope.
Yeah, up and running, good to go. Let's talk about gardening, buddy, and some weather, huh?
Let's do that. Let's go to the lines. Let's go to the phone. Rick DeMaio, how are you, Rick?
Good morning, Mike. I'm glad that your internet is working.
So am I. It's well, we have a number of people who listen on the internet, certainly in a lot of different states, so I'm glad that this is back. And like Annie Haven, my friend with her Moopoo tea. She's out in California and, wow. The Authentic Haven brand. And she always, posts during the show. She says, Happy New Year to Mike Now and staff. Always enjoy your garden radio show from all of us at Authentic Haven brand. So Annie, thank you so much.
Yeah, I wonder if radio and TV, you know, the apparatus that we watch and listen, is going to exist in the next 10 years. Everything we can do through a computer or a smartphone, and a smartphone is really just a camera with a computer attached to it that we happen to make phone calls with, if you really think about it.
Well, yeah, you know, it's Norman Goldman on Chicago's Progressive Talk during the week often talks about how this is not the radio business anymore.
It's
the communication business.
Right.
And however you communicate, whether it's via phone or radio or Facebook or Twitter or whatever app you're using, I really need a Mike Novak app. I don't even know how I would put that together, but
You could probably figure it out. It would be like, you know, your face with your big white mane of hair, and you know, and the way they do it on the iPad, you know, when people tap it, it kind of jiggles back and forth.
With the little eyes going back and forth, like one of those little games with the marbles in them, yeah.
Yeah, your eyes going back and forth, kind of like how you are, you know, behind the mic right now. You're always looking left and right and seeing how things are going. But, you know, it's interesting because I think the era that we're in now is probably similar to, you know, two different eras that we went through when we went from, you know, silent pictures to the talkies, as they said back then. And then when, you know, when TV was basically invented, and not so much invented, but became affordable for everybody to begin to start watching. I think it was that great movie called Avalon where it showed the family at the dinner table and nobody was talking. Everybody was watching TV. And it's just, it's a different form, as you said, of communication. And I think we all have to learn to adapt to it. And one thing I've known, being in the TV business, is that the TV stations are still trying to figure out how to, you know, put their arms around it. I think the technology is going faster than they're able to expand their minds, and that's partly due to the fact that the people in charge are, you know, kind of older people who are simply just saying, well, no, it's not going to be that big of a deal. I still remember, Mike, this was, I think, back in the early 90s when I was at United Airlines, but my meteorology manager said, and we kept asking to have the Internet access in the office. He says, oh, the Internet is not all what it's cracked up to be. And I still remember that today, and I don't think you can go anywhere without it now. And as you said, you know, listening to the radio, even watching TV on it is now, you know, a thing that we could, you know, don't even take for granted anymore. It's like, well, can I do it on my phone? And that's the first thing that people are asking about.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's how much it's changed. And, right. You know, so even the Internet has changed because you remember when people would say, hey, can we get Internet? You usually had to plug in.
Right. Now everything is wireless, and I'm sure you're getting this as well, where people are just, you know, instead of trying to describe, you know, their plants and try to describe their ground or their soil, you just say, well, take a picture and email it to me, and I'll think about it at that point. So it's really changed the way we do our business, without a doubt.
Yeah. Now, speaking of changes, yeah. This year, okay, among years, you have to think, I would think that there were quite a few anomalies, that this is a year that people are going to look back at and say either this was the beginning of something or it really stood out as an anomalous year.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it, Mike, is because every time something happened, you had to go back and say to yourself, okay, when was the last time something like this happened? And then you go, well, it really didn't. Or if it did, it's all the way on the outliers. And I mean, for instance, you know, we had 4 consecutive, you know, 50-inch snowfalls. Then we had, you know, last year, all of a sudden, we had only 19.8. And you're thinking to yourself, when was the last time we had 4 in a row? And we never did. And then all of a sudden, we go all the way down to 19.8. And everybody's trying to figure out why. And then when you look back at the pattern that developed, you can kind of see the reason why. And then when you look at the result of that, you know, we ended up with, you know, one of the driest springs around here ever. And that led to an incredibly warm March, which then ended up leading to an incredibly, you know, hot and dry summer, which ended up leading to a very, you know, mild fall. And so far, a very, very mild start to the winter, which has basically seen, you know, near record low snowfall. So you wonder how much each one of the meteorological events continues to affect the next one out there. And I don't think we can all, you know, say with confidence that the next one, you know, it's not like the old if-then-else statement. It's like, well, let's see what happens. And then when you go back and look and see what happened, you go, okay, that makes sense. So it is. I think at the same time, it's also a great learning tool as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you prepared to look at this in perspective and make any kind of draw any conclusions about what we've experienced?
Well, I know you're always, you know, kind of getting me to kind of go out on a limb.
That's my job.
It's prodding.
I have to goad you into making these statements, you know?
I feel like you're Sam Donaldson, and I'm saying, now hold on there, Mr. President. I think it's perfectly fine to ask those questions, and I think the questions are valid because when you look around and you start to say, okay, well, we haven't had any, you know, real significant snowfall here in Chicago, you know, by and large, much of the country has had significant snowfall. So I think this is just one of those, you know, climactic anomalies that we just haven't had yet an inch of snow here, you know, officially at O'Hare. But yet, you know, up along the lakefront a couple of days ago, they had nearly 6 inches of lake effect snow. And I think part of that was due to the fact that on Christmas Day, you looked into the middle of the lake using satellite technology, and the lake water temperature was almost 42 degrees, and that's almost 6 to 7 degrees above normal. So Mother Nature has a very interesting way of kind of balancing things out. In other words, the lake has been unusually warm going into early to mid-December, and usually when you get, you know, cold air masses coming down the length of the lake, you'll end up getting, you know, clouds and precipitation in the form of lake effect snow. And because the lake was so much warmer than normal, it'll actually help produce more lake effect snow. So it's interesting that we got this lake effect snow event largely due, in fact, to very weak atmospheric conditions, but also due to one of those check marks in your lake effect snow list of a very warm lake. So it's amazing how Mother Nature will make do with what it has. And in the meantime, the lake is down almost 8 inches from where it was last year. And really, when you look at it historically, it's never been this low. So you have all these different climactic factors kind of working into tandem to create, you know, unusual events. And without a doubt, this year, as you mentioned earlier, very long on the list of unusual events.
But you just mentioned one of the most important ones, and that is the dryness and the fact that drought continues in much of the country. And here, the Great Lakes are suffering. When I was at your surprise celebration the other week, you took me out on the balcony, and he points to the lake. He goes, see that beach over there?
That's not never there before.
That was never there before. It's not supposed to be there.
And I know that's probably not a big deal to most people, but it is a big deal to people who obviously have, you know, boats in Burnham Harbor or Monroe Harbor or down by Navy Pier, obviously up in some of the fishing villages up around Door County. They've had to dredge some of the, you know, some of the harbors. I know that the Sag Canal has been dredged. I was talking to some people who, you know, run the barges back and forth up the canal. And they've had to actually put less payload on their barges because obviously the barges, if it's fully payloaded, it weighs more and it goes further down into the water. And they're worried about skimming the bottom of the canal there. So, yeah, it has had an impact on that as well as on barge traffic up and down the Mississippi River. Now, the good thing about the fact that we've had a mild winter and not a lot of snow is we haven't had the need to have a lot of barge traffic up and down the Mississippi River, you know, trafficking, you know, salt back and forth. So, you know, one hand kind of helps wash the other there. But
yeah, but it's not just salt that we...
No. It's a lot of other things as well. But one thing that you do have a lot during this time of the year, it's a lot of road salt goes up and down that river. Unfortunately, we haven't had the need for that, which, Mike, helps the environment. one way of looking at it.
Well, yeah. I mean...
road salt, without a doubt.
It's, you know, it kills cars, for one thing.
Right.
It kills plants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something to consider. You know, we haven't had to worry about much of it here, although I've already seen salt out. We had enough little ice that folks were throwing the stuff down, but sodium chloride is about the worst thing you can put down for your plants.
Mm-hmm, yeah, for sure. And if you want, I don't know if you wanted to, you know, ask any listeners to call in with what they perceive as to be some of the most important events of 2012, but I can just run through some of the numbers here. January.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, let's invite that. How did the weather affect you this year? 773-763-9278. What do you think was the most important part of the weather year, and specifically how it affected you, I think. So give us a call, 773-763-9278. Rick, you were saying.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the most amazing part about it, Mike, from a standpoint of climactic norms, and I know when you have Patrick Sketch on the line every once in a while, he gives you a lot of these numbers, but to put them into perspective, the month of January 2012, 6.4 degrees above normal. February 2012, 5.2 above normal. March, an astounding 15.6 degrees above normal. I've never seen that before.
Hold on. That deserves... Okay.
I mean, when you look at that, to have a month of 15.6 degrees above normal, it is not only... is not only from a statistical standpoint as that as far end on the graph as you can possibly imagine, but not only that, Mike, remember these numbers. March 14th, a high of 81. March 15th, a high of 81. March 16th, 82. March 17th, 82. March 18th, 81 degrees.
Wow.
Think about that. We didn't have 5 days above 60 or 5 days above 70. We had five consecutive days above 80 degrees, not only in the month of March, but, Mike, we had 5 days above 80 degrees in the wintertime. In the astronomical winter, not the meteorological winter, which goes from, you know, December, January, and February. But I don't think anybody would ever imagine having five consecutive days above 80 degrees. And if you recall what happened, and I think we can all remember that quite well, is how quickly the trees budded out and leafed out, I think by almost, 4 weeks ahead of time. You remember that, Mike?
Yeah.
And everything was growing so fast. And then all of a sudden we get into one of the driest patterns ever where we had basically, you know, maybe 25% normal rainfall. So when we got into the fall season, we were all talking about what kind of autumnal fall foliage we were going to have. Not only was it, I thought it was brilliant in color, but the season was awfully short. And it also turned almost 4 weeks ahead of time. So it was almost like the leaves said, you know what? If you're going to make me feel like I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, then I'm going to start early, and I may end up, dropping early as well. But the great thing about this was, as smart as we are and as much knowledge that we have, you know, within textbooks and in our brains, within our computers, I don't think anybody knew what the fall foliage season was going to yield based on the fact that everything started about pretty much a month ahead of schedule. And then look what happened. Everything kind of fell early. And I thought the colors, even though they were brilliant, they were very short-lived as well.
Well, you know, and folks, as you said, didn't know what the colors were going to be like. But the colors were, as you say, they were pretty good. It was
right.
Short, but still, it was surprising. And it's one of the wonderful things about nature and trees in general is that it's kind of hard. You can't predict that sort of thing. You think you
right.
can, and then the weather changes. And
yeah, and then I think the most amazing thing about last spring was March with an average temperature of 53.5 was actually warmer than April. April had an average temperature of 50.7. We never made it above 80 in the month of April. Who would think that the month that now I've seen before where June is warmer than July and maybe September is slightly warmer than September. But if there's one season out of the year in Chicago where it's never going to be warmer than the one month in Chicago where it's never going to be warmer than the next one, typically March is never warmer than April.
Oh, no.
And not only was it warmer, but it was warmer by almost 2.5 degrees. So March had an average temperature of 53.5. We finished up the month with only one or a half inch of snow. So the last measurable snow that we had of greater than 1 inch was back on the 24th, and we have still yet to have a day of 1 inch of snow here in Chicago. So I think our record is still going on. I think it's well over 300 days. I'd have to look at that. But the month of May ended up being mild again, 6.5 degrees above normal. We had a high of 97 on the 27th. And I always say to myself, in Chicago, if you start to get into low to mid-90s and the ground is dry right around Memorial Day, you're pretty much guaranteeing yourself of a very hot summer. That's exactly what happened. 100 degrees on the 28th of June, 103 degrees on the 6th and 5th of July. We ended up with an average temperature of 5 above normal in June, 7 degrees above normal in July. But oddly enough, the month of August, interestingly enough, ended up being cooler, Mike, than the month of June. And there's another anomaly. We ended up with only a temperature departure of a degree above normal in August. And once that pattern kind of broke about the first or second week of August, we were done. We ended up being a half degree below normal in the month of September, and we ended up with 46 days above 90. The record was 47, but we did have 7 degrees above 100 degrees, which was, I believe, tying the all-time record that we had here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up back into more of a typical, you know, cool pattern. October, obviously, we had Hurricane and Superstorm Sandy, you know, move up the eastern seaboard. a degree below normal in October, near normal in November. Everybody's thinking, okay, now this is setting up the stage, you know, going into more typical, more normal weather. And what does December do? We end up being 9 degrees above normal for the month so far. And I think the most amazing thing about it is we have still yet have had a day where the average, where the afternoon high temperature has been below 32 degrees. So we keep having these strange swings, and each time it seems like we're going into more typical weather, it ends up being anything but that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not trying to push you here, but I want to call your attention to something that I posted on Facebook. I know you're not a Facebook guy, but I saw this editorial in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch earlier this week, and it was the first thing I read in the morning. I went, oh, holy smoke, and it smacked me upside the head, and so I realized I had to post it immediately. And it was a the title of it was Save the Planet, Save Social Security, save Medicaid tax, carbon, you know, and that was the idea, was to have a carbon tax.
Mm-hmm.
And then the article went on to put a graph up, and it's a pie chart that shows the peer reviewed articles since 1991 about climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, unfortunately here, I chose to try to click onto the article, and the computer in front of me is just totally not going anywhere. Thank you very much.
Mike, why don't you explain to your listeners the difference between a peer-reviewed article and one that appears, say, in USA Today or like the Huffington Post blog? Explain that to your listeners real quick.
Why don't you do that? Because you are the you're the teacher. You are the master.
Okay. Well, this is important because when I hear people say, well, I remember back in the 70s when on the cover of Time magazine they said we were going to have an ice age again. I'm like, hello, that is not an article written by a scientist. That is not someone written by, as you mentioned, peer-reviewed. And peer-reviewed is basically I write a paper, and it's reviewed by 5 different professors in the meteorological community, and they all give it either a thumbs up or a thumbs down. If it's thumbs down, that means it didn't have any intellectual or educational merit to it, and it's basically trash. That doesn't mean it can't get published on the cover of Newsweek magazine or the Heartland Foundation or something like that. We all know what that organization stands for. But those are not scientific articles. Those articles, while they may be written by people with scientific background, and I'm not dissing them, but it's not peer-reviewed, meaning that it doesn't have the proper scientific input, not the scientific value, or not the references that's needed to write an article that really looks at both sides of the story. So peer-reviewed is huge when it comes to making a scientific statement.
Now, thank you for setting that up, because there's a pie chart in this article, which you can find on my Facebook page. And you can see the pie chart on my website, MikeNovak.net. We put it on the homepage. It was produced by James Lawrence Powell, a former member of the National Science Board under Presidents Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. You got to love that part. He did a broad search in scientific journals for every peer-reviewed study of climate change and or global warming since 1991.
Mm-hmm.
He found 13,950 of them. Well, the combined work of 33,690 scientists from around the world, precisely of those 13,950 articles, 24 rejected global warming.
Well, I would say that that's actually a pretty good number in favor of that it actually is happening. We need to start thinking about it in a more, you know, I mean, I know we haven't reached any tipping point like we have with other, you know, other pressing issues, but, you know, it's kind of out there. And I think, you know, maybe one day where we get another Sandy come through, maybe there will be a tipping point. I don't know.
Yeah, but you got to understand that number, 24, represents 1,700ths of 1%
right
of the pie.
Right.
And as the St. Louis Post-Dispatch says, end of debate. Or that says it right there. Hey, listen, we've got a weather moment call. So let's we got a call coming in. All right, let's go to line one, and that's Dan in Chicago. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi. Well, my weather moment was it kicked off my researcher the fact of the drought, and what I found and this is also probably one of the least covered stories, mm-hmm. is that the solar people have been tracking the solar cycles, and there's a record of the seriousness of it in government. The UV rates have skyrocketed. It's the largest flare up of the sun since the 1859 Carrington solar storms, and the intensity of those would have knocked out the power grid if they had had one, which is a calamity. You know, that's everything. That's refrigeration, mm-hmm. enforcement, banking, oil and gas pumps. It you know, the consequences are extraordinary. Now, the research on this goes back to tracking solar cycles, but the proof of it is that it was so serious that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission passed a ruling this last year. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, that within 6 months the grid has to be protected. The good news is that there is a way to do it. It's the same way you protect yourself. I mean, we're talking about a surge of the sun knocking out the grid. So it's the same way you protect your computer and equipment from power surges, and those can be installed in between the transformer and the ground, and they required all the power companies to install them. And the question will be whether that's done, and they had a six-month window for that, because this peak cycle is not just a 2012 thing. It also goes into 2013.
Dan, I'm telling you, we're running out of time. That sounds like that's a whole show. But thank you. No,
he makes some good points.
That's a great call, Dan. Thank you so much.
Sure. And I know we're running out of time here, Mike, but I think it's a great thing to talk about, because obviously we're all become more vulnerable, and whether or not that vulnerability becomes, you know, more enhanced with some of the things that we're doing.
Sure.
From an anthropogenic standpoint, Mike.
So quick forecast for the beginning of the year.
You know what? No snow for the rest of the year. We may get a little snow through here on Wednesday, but otherwise, finally we have
Morton Arboretum, and it's not going to help me a whole lot, but I'm be happy to see the sun.
Take care, Mike.
Well, happy New Year to you, Rick, and we'll talk to you next year, as they say.
Absolutely. Take care, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, Happy New Year to Pat Skatch also, who helps us with all of that. And it's great having your own meteorologist, as I always say. One needs to have their own meteorologist. He's an excellent one. In the second hour, we're going to talk about what it's like to get fined for growing native plants in your Chicago backyard with a couple of really interesting people.
Of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Denny Sheeter called this to my attention, and I meant to tell Rick DeMille this.
When master you, phone screener, Denny Sheeter. Thank you.
Master phone screener. And man number one, man number two, and mean man.
Yeah, yeah.
Angry guy.
And when I was at Gargantua Radio down the dial, there was Al Lerner was used to do a show there. And he's not even in town anymore. He used to do sports in Chicago. I think he's in Texas now. And he and Ed Curran, the Al and Ed show. They called it the Al and or Ed show. And occasionally, Al would be there on the air, and they had this microphone out on Michigan Avenue, and I would step up to the mic occasionally outdoors when Al was on the air and do this bit called The Last Angry Young Man.
Okay.
And that's what you've taken my place in there. You're now the last angry young man.
All right.
So
I'm on it.
So you got to figure out what to be angry about.
Oh, well, there's plenty of things. I'm a bald guy at 28. Let's just start at that. Here we go. Number one.
So anyway, but you did bring up something great, and I don't know if Rick DeMaio is still listening. And I hope he is, because he gets a ding. He nailed Christmas. He nailed the forecast 3 weeks before Christmas. This is why Rick DeMaio is my meteorologist on this show. He's the best meteorologist in the city.
Darn tootin'.
And he predicted it was 60 degrees outside in December, beginning of December. And people going, oh, boy. I mean, I was one of them freaking out.
His face was stone cold.
And he just said, I'm predicting a white Christmas.
Yep.
I believe that his exact words was, you can count on it.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Is that what he said? You
yep.
can count on it?
I remember that.
And so we get to that area, that time, and we had that big storm, and everybody's going, yay, okay, except that it kind of missed Chicago.
Yeah.
And then on Christmas Day, I'm at home. And, you know, and actually there had been, and I gave him grief for it last week about how on the 23rd, what we had was a dusting. It's like, it's a dusting Christmas. That's Christmas. And then on Christmas Day, sitting at home, opening gifts, having some pumpkin pie in the morning and cup of tea, and it starts to snow. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my God, Rick DeMaio is awesome.
Yeah.
He is awesome. And then we got about an inch of snow. Chris, not quite an inch, obviously, because as he said, we haven't even gotten an inch of snow. Haven't had an event with an inch of snow in Chicago, and here it is, the 30th of December. Yikes! But I just have to send my shout out to Rick DeMaio, who nailed it. He just totally nailed it, and it was a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, I looked out the window. I said, "Okay, he's good.
He's good." Yeah, so. There you go. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Happy New Year. Welcome to the end of the line for 2012. I think we can get our guests on, Denny. Great. And Sarah Batka is here with me in the studio. Lisa Albrecht. Poor Lisa.
I don't know. What happened?
Well, she's got just the nastiest cold.
Oh.
And she's just coughing up a lung right now. Just for the last few, I know.
Oh, sorry, Lisa.
We miss you, Lisa. I took her some soup yesterday because she needed some cheering up. And she told me, I said, you know, how did this happen? How does it always go to your lung? She tells me that living in Asia for 5 years did it. She was in Hong Kong back in the late 80s, early 90s. She said the soot in the air. It's there every day.
Oh.
And, well, and then she started to tell me that, you know, the story about Beijing when they had the Olympics. They shut down pretty much all industry in China in that area for 6 months. Wow. So they could clear the air out. I mean, it's insane.
And let me give Lisa props, too. She's still a team member, hustling. She called and let us know about that internet problem. So, Lisa,
was she was she coughing when she did it?
A little bit, no. Maybe one light cough. She's a trooper.
She is. She's a total trooper. And I know that she's out on Facebook today helping us out there.
Oh, she's remotely?
Yeah, she's remotely involved with the show. And I want to give a shout out also while we're doing that. Oh, wait a second. Is there a get well to Lisa? See, right away. Lisa just typed in Facebook, log on and listen to Mike Novak. I'm listening sadly from home, sick in bed. And Dwight sent her a get well wish. So that's cool. And I want to give a shout out to some of our other folks that I know are listening all the time. You know, David Zaber in Madison, who's headed out of the country soon. I think he's usually here. Cope Dog, as always, is there.
Zan Nelson. She's always listening in and baking.
She's always listening and baking. She was one of the people who earlier wrote, the internet's not working here. The internet's not happening. There's I See Green TV did a nice retweet of Lola Marina's tweet, which said, Mike Now, he's the best voice on Chicago Green Living.
Bam.
Isn't that sweet?
Is Snappy J Dog on there anywhere?
I haven't seen Snappy J today. But I wanted to make sure that I did a shout out to my buddy Tom, who says, Xmas present to myself, found and adopted his cat Halo. Halo's long-lost 9-year-old twin brother. Best Xmas in years. Wish you a great 2013. Tom, is that really Halo's long-lost twin, or is it just a cat that looks like Halo? I mean, how would you know? So I think maybe it's metaphorical. It's possible. So Tom's, he's a big-time animal lover. And he also wrote that earlier that I should, he was questioning my wearing long underwear for the appearance at the Morton Arboretum. For those of you who missed the show, the first hour, I'm going to be at the Morton Arboretum at 1 o'clock today for their Yule log ceremony. I believe we can get Suzanne on the phone now too, Denny. That is, have we got Kathy there?
Oh, Suzanne's on, and I will get Kathy.
Oh, that's
slipped my mind. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Kathy is sort of the main story here.
Phone screener blooper.
There we go. So my thanks to all you folks who are regular listeners and who listen during the year, and a lot of my favorite people like Dan Costa, who's always listening and sending in great ideas. He works at Vern Goer's greenhouse in Hinsdale, and Jennifer Brennan is always available. I mean, she stopped in last week. I brought some of that coffee cake she made today, if you want some of that, Sarah.
It's good. Oh, Denny brought me a piece. It's really delicious. Thank you, Jennifer.
That's a week later.
It's delicious.
And I should tell you that
the recipe is online.
The recipe is on MikeNovak.net. So if you want the recipe for Jen's coffee cake, which she calls Grandma's Cinnamon Sour Cream Coffee Cake. And it's awesome.
It's really good.
It's really good. It's right above the bar graph, or the, not the bar, it's not a bar graph, it's a pie chart of the 13,950 peer-reviewed climate articles between 1991 and 2012. And the sliver there that represents the 24 that rejected global warming. So it puts it really into perspective. All right, let's go to the phones.
Kathy, line one.
Okay, let's go to Kathy on line one. Kathy Cummings, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm real good. How about you?
I'm having a great time here. And on the last work day of the year from, well, that's not true. I'll be working tomorrow. I don't get many days off. But you're a celebrity, Kathy.
I am.
I mean, this is the Chicago Tribune here. I'm looking at the business section, I don't know which section it is, but get today's paper, go to the business section. You can also find the link on my Facebook page. I would advise people who are listening to the show, there are two ways you can find out about this story, and one is to go to the business section. John Yates does a column called What's Your Problem? And he, you know, helps people with their problems and tries to get answers. But if you can also, and that is linked to the Mike Novak Show on Facebook. And I hope people will go there because I'm looking for likes for the end of the year. So I want to thank Tom Shepard, who put the link up there on the Mike Novak Show. And if you'll see it, it's called Problem Solver, award-winning garden ticketed for weeds. The other place you can find information about this is at MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've written about it this week. I don't know if you saw that, Kathy, but if you get a chance, you can go take a look at that.
Okay, I will.
When we left off last week, you had told me that you had been ticketed by the city. It was a $600 fine plus $40 court costs.
Yeah.
Total $640. Now, I kind of misunderstood because I've had some people write to me and say, because I thought you were going back in for another court date, but what you explained to me on the phone the other day was that it is... You had 35 days from the fine being issued to appeal.
Right.
And that takes it to what, the 3rd of January?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the appeal is just basically to what? Show up with a check or show up with a and say, I want to appeal, or send them a notice? How does that work?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I've never done this before. And I'm thinking that I have to go to the Daly Center, 6th floor, and pay for the appeal. I think you pay in advance.
Uh-huh.
And it's $317. I've been told that pays for the court time, you know, like you're booking some time in it. And yeah, it's the circuit court. And then I don't know what happens. I think maybe they send you a date or send me a date.
All right. Well, let's get people caught up in case they didn't catch this last week. Basically, in 2004, Kathy's garden received a first place as the most naturalized city garden in Mayor Daley's Landscape Awards program. And then this year...
on Halloween.
Was it actually on Halloween?
Yes.
All right. Happy Halloween.
That's where the world started to get really surreal.
Yeah. On Halloween, you got ticketed by the city for being in violation. What exactly? I wasn't able to download that document you sent me with the scary words on the ordinance, the ticket that you got.
The scary words were on the notice of collection.
Uh-huh.
But the ticket looks like a sort of a parking meter ticket, blue and white. And I was actually cited for two things. One was weeds exceed 10 inches, and the other one was accumulation of materials junk. And that caused me to want to talk to the ticket maker because, or the ticket signer or sender, because I didn't know what they meant by junk, and still don't. But in any case, when at the hearing, the judge threw it out anyway because he didn't have any photos to substantiate it.
Well, it sounds like you just whoever it was just checking off stuff. Just figured cover all bases and to make sure you got your fine.
Right.
So you have this opportunity to appeal. Problem is, I would assume that and I should go back and say that, folks, that these weeds are all native plants. If you didn't catch this last week, the point is Kathy knows what she's doing. In fact, I was thinking about that after we talked last week, Kathy, and you were ticking off all of the different natives that you're growing in your yard.
Right.
And I'm betting most people have no idea what plants grow in their yard.
I know.
But they don't get tickets for it.
Right.
You do, and you're the one who received the fine.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm going to bring in... I've lost... Danny, we're... going to need some help here. Suzanne Malik McKenna was on the line, and I've just lost her. Well, let's see if we can track Denny down and get him back here.
Okay.
But I wanted to go through a couple of things. One of the interesting things about the story here, John, Kathy, is John's story in the Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
He went to your alderman, Proco Joe Moreno, who's because you're in the first ward.
He actually did, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it says here, it says, in a letter dated December 13th, The alderman wrote to the city's Department of Revenue on Cummings' behalf, asking the city to dismiss the citation. Were you aware of that?
Well, yeah, I went in there asking him for a letter.
You went into the alderman's office.
Yeah, and asked that he write that letter.
And here's quoted in the article. As you may know, monarch butterflies, Illinois state insects, have essential connection with milkweed for food and laying their eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Moreno wrote, please give this request all due favorable consideration.
Right. Yeah, that was in the letter.
And then it says, he writes, the problem solver called city spokeswoman Kathleen Strand, mm-hmm. who looked into Cummings' case.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one, she says, but the administrative law officer at administrative hearings looked at all the evidence, heard the case, and made a decision, Strand said in an email.
Mm-hmm.
If she does not agree with the hearing decision and fine, she can go to circuit court for an administrative review of the case.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, Kathy, that Strand said Cummings was given the minimum fine for her infraction. $600 is the minimum fine, apparently, for this
right.
infraction.
Yeah, the maximum was
$1,200. Oh,
and then you know
gosh.
About the junk? That was the minimum was $300 on that one.
I'm surprised, actually, that the junk is the lesser of the fines. That's very odd to me. Well, okay. Well, Suzanne Malik McKenna is back, and she is. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Howdy, Mike. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being with us. I know you're out of town, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Suzanne Malik McKenna is the director of the Regional Trees Initiative for the Morton Arboretum, senior counsel for energy and the environment at Is it Jaskolka? Is that how you pronounce it?
Jaskolka Terman
and Associates. And, of course, former commissioner, Chicago Department of the Environment, a department that does not exist anymore. But it was under your tenure, 2008, that this weed ordinance was constructed. I sent you a copy of what I think is the pertinent portion of it, Suzanne.
Right.
What was the intention there in putting and let me read this part here. It says the purpose of these rules and regulations is to provide guidance on determining whether vegetation is a quote weed within the meaning of section 728.120 of the Municipal Code of Chicago, and as such is subject to the restrictions and abatement measures set forth in the section, and then definitions as used in section 728.120 of the Municipal Code of Chicago, and in these rules and regulations, weed or weeds means vegetation that is not managed or maintained by the person who owns or controls the property on which all such vegetation is located and which, on average, exceeds 10 inches in height. I think the interesting point is on average.
Mm-hmm. Right. So let me just say this. I think that the intention of this ordinance was to get away from the concept of anything that's called a weed. And so the intention is that it leaves discretion to the commissioners. Then it was myself, and I think it was Mike Bacardi at the time.
Yes, that's correct.
With the understanding that native plants aren't weeds. But as we all know, that not the general public, but I would say a slice of public who aren't aware of native plants, there's nothing wrong with that. But they see it as unkempt. And there are communities that see it as unkempt. They see mown lawns as being cared for. And so our intention there was that everything that's tall is not a weed. And that it's really about not being cared for. Your native landscape is cared for. It just looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and on average was a very important point because there are a lot of low plants, high plants, et cetera. And the issue in a lot of regards are people sometimes don't feel safe if there's a lot of tall vegetation, just like geese don't feel safe, which is a good thing. So I think that it has been misinterpreted. And when we first did the ordinance, and it was the intention, I'm trying to remember the name of the group. I want to say Wild Ones, but that's the conference at Chicago Wilderness. But there's a group that was really organizing for backyard landscape, native landscape. Is that what they were named?
Well, Center for Neighborhood Technology right now is handling the Sustainable Backyards program.
Right, right. But I'm thinking there was a nonprofit who for years, you know, we talked to and tried to figure out if there was a way that we could codify this so that there was more of an understanding about native landscapes. And this is what we came up with. And so it's not perfect. There's no question about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it sounds as though it could be interpreted a number of ways. It's still... It doesn't really address the complexity of growing natives in an urban setting.
Right.
Yeah, but this is the problem with that. If you it is impossible to really identify a lot about complexity when it comes to an ordinance.
Sure.
So you have to try and describe it in a way. And believe me, we had a lot of people thinking this through. It may not seem like it, but it's really difficult to pass ordinances and codes. We've done a lot of it when I was in that department. Because we thought it was really important to protect, you know, public health and safety and really get people to understand what we're dealing with. But that is actually an intention to allow people to have native landscapes and people to understand, you know, that a native landscape is okay. Now, the trick to that is that the people who are out inspecting understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it has not worked clearly in this situation.
Oh.
When we first did this 4 years ago, we did a training with both our inspectors at Department of Environment and streets and sand inspectors. And I think, you know, when we do ordinances, we have an invasive species ordinance. We have a range of different things, you know, to protect, in essence, our landscapes and allow for our landscapes to grow and change with the times, especially in light of climate. So we, for instance, have species of trees, shrubs, perennials, both terrestrial and aquatic now, that we say cannot be planted in the city of Chicago because of the fact that they've changed and become invasive. An example is burning bush, which is astonishing to people, privet, things like that. So the weed ordinance, as described, was to get people to understand that because it's tall, it's not bad, but that the area is around having, all right, now I just lost the word, discretion. And I think what's missing here is that we need to do some more training of our inspectors and remind them what this ordinance means. The junk part, all I can imagine is that it's the taller plants collect stuff. So if it's a windy day and paper flows down the street, it lands in the plants. That's the only thing I can imagine that would be.
Okay. I shouldn't have mentioned it at all, I think, because the judge dismissed that.
Oh, good. Okay.
There were no photos of it.
Yeah,
but it did say that that plants over 10 inches, high weeds over 10 inches, shelter for rodents. And I've never seen a rodent in my native plant garden. I certainly don't allow trash to accumulate in there.
It's very possible that there's been a complaint from a neighbor. Because oftentimes that happens, and they're using that as, you know, one of their fear factors, right? That, you know, there's going to be something hiding there, just like the parks at one point cut down all their shrubs, their understory, because people were afraid people would jump out from it, that they'd hide from it and commit crime. So this is very much a perception over reality situation. That's my take on it.
Well.
And I think that... what we need to do is follow up and find out, you know, where the relief is in this. And unfortunately, I've been out of the game for about a year and a half, so I'm not sure. I assume it was a streets and sand ticket, yes?
Yes. It was okay. It was streets and sand that issue. Now, were they the same group that were responsible 4 years ago?
It was streets and sand and environment, because both commissioners signed, we're both able to enforce.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, and there's a difference right there. And again, as Suzanne said, she's not part of the city anymore. This is, you know, she's been away from this for a year and a half. But if you had the Department of the Environment involved and Streets and Sand said, oh, here's a place where we want to issue a ticket, they could look at it and say, oh, well, wait a second. These are natives and I don't think this applies. And it's all part of that education that Suzanne's talking about, is that people need to know what they're ticketing.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't mean, I want to be clear, it doesn't mean that things don't fall through the cracks, because typically when a ticket's written, it's not like Streets and Sand calls Environment and says, hey, what do you think of this? No, sometimes they do. And oftentimes a request like that would be just sent to us and we'd go out and take a look at it. But I think there's probably, and I know there was some discussion earlier, Mike, about, well, they're just trying to generate revenue. I don't think that's the case. I think that it's probably more along the lines of, you know, we have a lot of foreclosed homes, not saying that you're in that kind of neighborhood at all, Kathy, but there's, you know, we've got a challenge on our properties now across the city. When once we had 60,000 vacant lots when Mayor Daley took office and we had a lot less at the end, now with all the foreclosures and distressed properties, we have more boarded up buildings, we have more vacant lots. And so I think there's an intention to try and keep the communities feeling, looking safe, what have you. And again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So I think this, again, was a discretionary thing. Somebody looked at it, they got a complaint. They wrote a ticket. They felt they were probably being responsive, which is good, but perhaps in the wrong direction.
You know, that's Suzanne Malik McKenna, former commissioner, Chicago Department of the Environment, currently director of Regional Trees Initiative for the Morton Arboretum. I also have Kathy Cummings, award-winning garden designer, I guess, because it's your garden and your design. And if folks want to take a look at this, they can go to my website, mikenovak.net. I've got a couple of photos of the garden. One is in the fall. You can see a lot of leaves around, but that happens in the fall. Guess what, folks? Trees drop their leaves. But what it does show is your lovely fences that you created out of natural wood. And then there's another one that shows the garden in the summer or spring. I it's green. That's all I have to say. I don't know exactly which month that was taken.
Well, and Kathy, I remember when you got that award, because I think that was the first year we did what we called Naturalistic Garden Award.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were trying to reflect that there is this different kind of garden that's not, you know, what would be considered more formally maintained. And we wanted to start encouraging that. And again, that's why we also started the Sustainable Backyard program to get more people into the game of understanding what natives and other plants that provide ecosystem services can do for us.
Yeah, I was told that the fact that I'm a beekeeper and I was planting plants that the bees would appreciate was part of the factor.
Right.
What do you mean you were told that that was a factor?
Well, that that was why they created a new category called naturalized.
I think, you know, that could be it, but I think it's more the range of it. I think it's more identifying and acknowledging this different type of landscape, not only the beauty of it, but also the many functions that it provides, from stormwater capture to habitat. Mm-hmm. You know, to a range of things. So I think it was really more, it was to acknowledge that there is this type of landscape that not everybody knows or understands or appreciates, but that deserves acknowledgement. And that's why we started that.
I want to read something that, Kathy sent me, and this was written by one of her neighbors. It's just part of it. It goes like this. As a neighbor living directly across Thomas Street from Ms. Cummings, I can say that I have never thought that her property has in any way appeared neglected or dilapidated. I have often seen Ms. Cummings working in her front yard, maintaining its appearance. In addition to maintaining her own property, I have witnessed Ms. Cummings picking up litter all along our stretch of Thomas Street, as well as on nearby blocks of streets she does not live on, such as Haddon. The city could scarcely have selected a more inappropriate citizen to cite for this type of violation. In a city filled with abandoned homes, unfinished construction projects, and homes generally falling into disrepair, to single out Ms. Cummings for her choice of plants that grow in her front yard is scandalous. That's what one of her neighbors said. Yeah, I know. That's just amazing.
Yeah. But in the same light, what we understand, and this is, you know, this is going to go toward the philosophical argument that we could do 12 shows on, Mike, there is a real perspective from a lot of people that that is not attractive. And Joan Nassauer from University of Michigan did this great study with the Forest Service here in Chicago that showed, it was a visual elicitation study where you'd look at one landscape versus another. And you basically show what you'd vote on what's pleasing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what she learned was if you mow a little strip right in the front or something like that in certain landscapes, it gives people the impression that it's cared for. So there's really a psychological, social aspect of this as well, that not only inspectors but neighbors, probably gather besides the neighbor across the way. And that's part of, that's the problem. That's the challenge we face.
You know, it's interesting because I saw Joan speak here in Chicago several years ago, and she has this thing called the 50% rule. Which is if your lawn goes beyond 50% with plants versus lawn, then people get tense, and that's when they start to rebel. On the other hand, you could look at these photos that Kathy has. You were saying it needs to look like it's tended. Her fences alone tell you that it's tended because she's got them neatly intertwined.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is absolutely beautiful. I'm just sharing with you what sometimes the perspective is on this stuff, and it is not necessarily a good or bad perspective. It's again that beauty in the eyes of the beholder perspective. But I think this requires, a further conversation with Streets and Sand. There's some really great leadership there, and I'm sure it has not trickled up very far. And of course, the city stance is we wrote a ticket. We need to back up our people. But they're also, willing to sit down and talk about it. So, I think not only for the purposes of the importance of this argument, but for sticking up for Kathy, I would like to chip in for the appeal. And I think we should go for it. And I'm willing to cover half of it.
See
if you're... if your members would help, Mike. This is just off the top of my head, by the way. But I think we should do it. I think we should go in. I think we should have the conversations. I think it'll be a really interesting experience as well for your listeners about how the system works. It sounds like the system isn't working, but it actually is. It's just been interpreted in a way that isn't helpful.
I'll tell you what.
You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, Suzanne. I'll throw in the other half.
Wow.
Okay, so
thanks,
if you do one half,
Let's get your members to chip in. Let's get people
listeners.
This is grassroots, people. Grassroots at its best.
Here's the problem with that. It's soliciting funds.
Oh yeah, you're not supposed to do that
on the radio. Unless I have a not for profit, I don't think I can do that. But I can pitch in, and you can pitch in, I'll bet the folks around here we could get enough money to cover the appeal, because we need to make this known that this is an injustice, and we need to follow through, because if Kathy doesn't appeal, it just moves on to the next person.
Right. And so I will give advice to all involved here, which is it's a campaign, but don't be offended. In the light of things, of all the things that go on in the city, the city, whether it would have been me there or others, are not going to find it to be the injustice all of us do. And the reason I want to say this is because how we handle it makes a huge difference.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we should handle it, with all the best intentions, assuming that, there's just been some misunderstandings, or, the training has fallen behind or what have you. I can take some credit. It's really hard to keep up on ordinances and keep people up to speed, et cetera. So I'm just saying that just because, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Process probably won't be as successful as others.
No, Suzanne, it's just the right way to go.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I got to tell you here. These are my listeners. I just got a text from Jack Pizzo. He says, "Count me in." He says,
"Hey, Jack, way to go, Jack."
Jack Pizzo.
I love you, Jack.
Well, what we could really use is an attorney with an environmental background.
So let me just ask you this: so it's the appeal is just paperwork, right?
I don't know.
You don't need to. I don't think you
really don't know. I've never done this before.
And that's the other thing, Kathy. We have to figure out what this is very quickly. I know you're kind of uncertain about this. What we really need is a lawyer to step up. and help guide us just at least through the next few days. So if there's anybody out there who's got some experience in doing this kind of appeal, please contact me, mike@mikenovak.net. Because,
and again, I don't think this is, I don't want to, that if somebody wants to give us some pro bono law support, I don't think it'll be much to just take a look at what the process is.
Yeah, that's all we're asking for, the process. Right, exactly.
And I really think that it's probably just filling out a form. You don't come in and do a deep dive appeal in front of the court because you're probably not even on the docket. You just have a deadline for submitting your appeal. That's my guess. But if you want to send it to me, Kathy, I can take a look at it as well. I think this would be a really good process for us to undertake together. It'll teach us all about how some of these things work, and then we'll find a way to get it solved.
A learning experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I want to change things. I think it's important that the work that Suzanne started as commissioner of the Department of the Environment and those people that worked with her, it was to educate the city departments so that they would recognize when this was beneficial, when you were putting native plants in. And I think some of that has gone away. It's lapsed a little bit. I think, you know, you get new people, you get turnaround in different departments, and they need to understand that this is not, these are not weeds. These are plants.
Right.
They help conserve stormwater. They reduce energy costs. I mean, they help beneficial insects and birds. Mm-hmm. It just goes on and on. The benefits of growing native plants, and that needs to get across to the staff at the Streets and Sand Department.
Right, and again, I've worked with them for years, and they're really great. And so I just think really it's a misunderstanding and a conversation we need to have. So I'm happy to participate in this. I think what we should do is take a look at the paperwork, see what needs to happen. I'm pretty sure it's probably just a paperwork submittal on that day. And then we can sit down and look at it. And, Mike, I think it'd be kind of fun to talk about this. Kathy, you might not find this fun. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sure I will. I'll be there.
But kind of talk through the kind of the steps that you undertake in such a situation. It is a little bit of government 101.
Yeah, it is. I think that's an excellent idea because I don't think a lot of people know how to deal with the city. Kathy, you were telling me that, you know, you went into that hearing when you first got your ticket, mm-hmm. and you said there were a lot of people there, and a lot of them were elderly, and you said they all, mm-hmm. some of them seemed confused about what was going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And really, it was a morbid situation. People were glum. People were being slapped.
Yeah, well, people are scared. People are scared.
Yeah.
And
they're
being slapped with
huge fines.
Yeah.
You know,
and Mayor Emanuel has really been working hard at creating, you know, the transparency of records and things like that. He's very interested in making things, you know, easier as much as possible, but there's a lot of work to be done. So I think that this could be a good process and we could all learn from it. And ultimately, I do nothing without expecting success. damn it. But, Mike, I also want to just make, you know, you made a nice little comment about me, but I just want to make sure that you understand that work is not done just by me. Our department, the Natural Resources Group, Aaron Dernbaugh's team, but also, mm-hmm. you know, Chicago Wilderness, Wild Ones, there's a lot of groups that work with us on those types of things.
So I understand just, that. Open lands.
But I mean, I think it's really important to note that because it is truly a collaborative kind of grassroots effort to make a law or make an ordinance, and you're much more successful if you do it in a way that people are engaged from both sides of the argument and you come to some type of understanding, because city council isn't going to pass something that's just full of tons of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it, man.
All right. Well, Kathy, here's what we need to do. I need to know, did they give you paperwork that you needed to fill out in order to do an appeal, or did they just
tell? They told me where I could do it at the Daly Center, sixth floor.
Yeah.
All right.
You might be able to download something about the appeal.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think going and figuring out that paperwork's important. You will not have a court date that day. I would be very surprised if you did.
And is it the 3rd, Kathy?
I was going to go on the 2nd.
I think that's a good idea. Or go in early. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you can, you know, the sooner the better. If you could even go in tomorrow, that'd be even better. just to see what kind of paperwork you need. Of course, on the 30th of the last day of the year,
mm-hmm.
or the last month of the year, I imagine it's going to be pretty crazy. But it's going to be crazy there anytime. But we need to have that information as quickly as possible so we can act on it. And so you and I, Kathy, are going to continue to talk. Suzanne, you and I are going to continue to talk. And I like this idea of Civics 101 lesson about how to do an appeal, not just about native plants in your yard, but about other ordinances that you might be in violation of, that sort of thing.
And not just in violation, I think it would be really interesting for people to learn about, you know, there's a lot of really cool codes and ordinances that have been put in place specifically to support this kind of effort.
Yeah.
Both, you know, sustainable, natives, invasives, soils, all kinds of things that I think as city gardeners, urban gardeners, you know, suburban, wherever we are, would be useful for us to know and ultimately see if we can get it done in other communities as well. And that would be my opener to talk later about regional trees initiative, because there's a lot to talk about there, too.
Well, and of course, we would do that as well, talk about the regional trees initiative and segue into your current job. So that's the excuse to get you back on the program, and we'll talk about this.
Sounds fab.
Suzanne, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay.
You have a wonderful new year, and you and I will talk real soon.
Great.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. Mike, get a hold of me if you want to talk about it before the 3rd, okay?
I will definitely do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
Kathy, keep the faith, all right?
Yes.
And Kathy, I want to thank you for bringing this to our attention, and we need to work quickly. So anything you can get to me in terms of paperwork, I will help you with, and Suzanne will as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you take care. And I got to tell you, I got another text from Lisa Albrecht, also from my show. She's in as well with the contribution to the appeal. So,
oh, wonderful. I love that woman. Yeah.
I love her too.
Yes.
And she's coughing right now as she listens to the show. All right.
Thank you.
Kathy, we will talk real soon.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. We got work to do in just a couple of days. Wow. That's going to be, it's going to be fast. But how cool. And I want to thank Jack Bezos for sending me that text as well.
Is he a prairie geek on Twitter?
I don't know. I don't know if that's him on Twitter. Why? I thought his Twitter handle was a little more straight. It might be.
Senior ecologist, principal landscape architect. Is he a landscape architect?
Yeah, he's
Pizzo
and Associates.
Okay. That's him.
Prairie geek?
Yeah.
Okay, so shoot out a tweet for him. And with Pizzo and Associates, restoration ecologist Jack Pizzo, who actually we went out to his place to film a segment of Dig in Chicago this past summer. So, and I left a shirt there, Jack. You owe me a shirt. Just letting you know. All right. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Oh, sure. Christmas is over. And now you want to toss that Christmas tree like a used Christmas tree. Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that these trees you're talking about, they can be recycled and chipped and used for garden cover. Seriously, the University of Illinois Extension says that in the United States, there are more than 4,000 Christmas tree recycling programs, and that 93% of real Christmas tree consumers recycle their tree in community recycling programs. 93%. Don't be part of the 7%. In fact, bump it up to 99 or 100%. Cook County even uses old Christmas trees to rebuild housing structures for natural wildlife that has been destroyed through development. In Chicago proper, there are 23 drop-off locations that you can find at cityofchicago.org or contact your own municipality to see what kind of program it has. It's not hard to do. And invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. Happy New Year from the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
I've just figured out that I'm smarter than the Mayan civilization.
Knew it the whole time, buddy.
Oh, thanks. Now how? Well, I can really see into the future. Here it is, the 30th of December, and I can tell you what's in the January-February issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. First, you should know that it's the annual garden planning edition, complete with a chart that you can fill out right in the magazine with columns like, you know, and they divide it up in little blocks and the little heading, and then you write in your little note. And some of the different divisions are plants I want to try this year, and then you write your little note. Perennials, desperately needing division, and then you write the note about what's in your garden. And then there's my favorite, the column that says, need professional help with this area. And then you write your little note. There are suggestions from experts about must-grow vegetables, what plants to use if we have another brutal summer, please say it ain't so, and what it really means to make your garden sustainable. Then there's my column on the inside back page. Coincidentally, it is also under the heading Needs Professional Help. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. That's the best thing. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600,
888-265-3600. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old exile?
For a quiz, kids, especially you young punks in the room. Who was that? Who sang that?
Sound like Beach Boys to me.
All right.
Very good job, Denny. I thought for sure you were going to ask, what does it mean?
So no, Googling no, it. I no, thought I
was going
no.
to. Oh, my God. I was totally cheating.
I was looking at the lyrics.
We were trying to sing All Lang Syne for It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life, and you people were going, what are the words? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you listen to the replay, everybody.
What are the words?
I am humming along.
Oh, my goodness. All right, real quick, before we get out of here, we've had some great tweets. One of them is that I'm happy with the people telling me, helping me look for a lawyer to help us out. I don't think we need an enviro lawyer. I think we just need a lawyer who knows his or her way around City Hall. I thought Scott Jameson, and Happy New Year to you, Scott. Yeah, and he says, I know some people who are very sustainable but not attractive, and vice versa. There is no relation between beauty and sustainability. Good point. Good point. Sometimes it's actually conversely, there's a converse relationship. You know, sometimes the neater you are, the less sustainable you are. Real quick, let's bring in Mr. Cowgill. How are you doing, Ron Cowgill?
Fine, sir. How are you doing?
All right. You know what? I apologize for this. We had talked the other day about perhaps doing something on this solar energy ruling. The ICC is getting involved, and I know you and Lisa are involved in trying to make solar companies more profitable and more numerous in Illinois. And It's a very complex issue, and I thought, you know what? Let's do it another day. I want to get you in here. Lisa's sick today, and she can't be here, but I know she's got a lot to say about this issue, and I'm hoping that...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know. I know she stood up at a meeting recently, and she vented, so... So I'm just here to actually wish you a Happy New Year and say you and I will discuss this very soon, in the next couple of weeks, the whole solar energy issue in Illinois, okay?
Yeah, no, it's no problem. You just need a couple of soapboxes and stand back, because... Lisa and I will just start going off.
And that's what I want. I think it's important because right now the way things are going, it looks like it's not going to be really beneficial for the solar industry in Illinois, and you guys need to stand up for that.
Yeah, well, those of us that have been doing it long enough will get grandfathered in and we'll be okay, but, you know, then we're also monopolizing the whole thing. So I don't know if that's good or not.
I don't think it's good. So, I mean, I want your business to succeed, Ron, but I also don't.
Oh, I know.
I don't think there should be a monopoly on it. So thanks. No. Thanks for calling in. Happy New Year. And you and I will talk real soon, buddy.
All right. Same to you.
And talk and don't forget to listen to Mighty House Saturdays from 8 to 11 on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM.
You got it.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, buddy.
And let's bring in Dave Zaber in Madison, Wisconsin. Dave, Happy New Year to you.
Oh, Happy New Year, Mike, and to all the listeners. I am going to represent Wisconsin with a check on that appeal to you as well, and we'll help
make sure
we throw all that money in. Oh, no problem. A couple of little quick points. The appeal is not about our perspectives. The appeal is about mistakes made in the ordinance, and you have to look at it very clear. We know the facts and the truth about this. We know the truth about this, and that it's kind of a thing that's hurting the plantings that we want. But the bottom line here is, in the legal realm, you look for inconsistencies. The first thing I would look at is this average of 10 inches. Is that over a year? Is it over a month? If it's over a year, easy to show that average is not exceeded. These are the kind of internal inconsistencies one has to look at when making an appeal. Every dot, every I has to be dotted, every T has to be crossed, and it has to be perfect. Follow the rules exactly and write these things out. Look through those ordinances and find where they can't enforce it properly, either through sort of an interpretation. It's a weed. It looks bad. The idea is not that you tend it. You are managing it, because that's the language used in the ordinance. Specifically focus on those things. The inconsistency on the 10-inch rule is one I would go at. But adding in all our perspectives on, yes, they're important for the environment, that stuff doesn't matter in this type of a procedure. And I think a good attorney is essential, and they will tell you that. So having appealed many federal projects, if you don't get it exactly right, they'll throw it out on a technicality.
When are you leaving town, Dave? I know you're headed, where are you going?
I'm going to Angola for a month to teach water quality testing. I'll be leaving in January. It's called the Farmer to Farmer program.
Mm-hmm.
Angola was a country devastated through 40 years of civil war. And they have they had a lot of ag extension agents or offices. All of them were destroyed except a couple. Angola, all the seeds there.
Great.
We'll be going and helping to bring some at least water quality monitoring knowledge to the folks in that southwestern African country.
Okay, we're out of time, Dave. Thanks. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to call you about this court thing. And Happy New Year to you.
Talk to you soon, Mike. Happy New Year, all your listeners, and we'll talk soon.
You bet. Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, Sarah Batka, Dennis, Happy New Year to you guys. Thanks to all the people who tweeted. I didn't get to everything, but thanks to all who are going to contribute. We will follow through on this. Go green or
go home.
Happy New Year.